change. And change is good if it's not the just change. But I think education is the answer to a lot of the ills that the state has. I'd like to see the educational programs changed in the state. Saw that in 1940, when he passed his preschool work law. And these older people, they can't read or write. But their children, who receive the benefits under that law, preschool work. A set of school books cost a bale of cotton. That was kind of expensive. I know the year after we passed that bill, there were 31,000 new children in school.
What year was that?
Right after Huey Long.
That was after Huey Long.
Well, they thought that was one of the most important things in terms of public education in the state system.
Well, they did, yeah.
Same thing here.
Is that for all grades?
Yeah. 1 through 12.
Do you think that the general public in Mississippi has basically accepted school desegregation? I didn't hear the last thing you said.
Accepted.
Did that come as a surprise to you?
What?
That level of acceptance, considering the resistance, what it was.
No, it hadn't been a surprise because of the programs that have attended. All these giveaway programs in Washington, they seem like a fine thing. I've been to school with them. That's the reason I know it is accepted. If it wasn't accepted, there would be a big racket about it.
How do you explain that acceptance in view of the fact that there, in a sense, appeared to be more opposition in Mississippi than any place else?
Well, that was at the beginning. And the people just took the idea that it's the federal government that tell the people what they had to do and get by with it in the school program, which always had belonged to people. People don't feel that it's their school program anymore. And that they could take a federal judge and overturn everything he said, that they wouldn't have much chance if they turned him over. And that's what they did. So that helped more to cause the people to, well, to accept it partially, more than anything else.
There's some people who think that if the federal pressure were eased back enough, that things in Mississippi would sort of revert back to what they were. How do you feel about that?
They might to a certain extent, but I don't think you would altogether. Sure don't.
What has been the effect of the Voting Rights Act in Mississippi? Besides registering a lot of blacks, but what has been the effect of that?
There hasn't been too much effect. You've had a few people on a local level that have been voted into office, like mayor, justice of the peace, supervisor, or maybe a member of the legislature. But you hadn't had any real sure force on the part of the black people. They voted for the white man all the time. And, it's kind of like Martin King said, you just can't organize Mississippi Negro. And he's about right. But they just will not vote for a Negro because he's a Negro. He's got to have a lot of ability. He's got to have a lot of honesty about it. He's got to show sincerity and concern for his fellow man. A Negro is much smarter than people have given him credit for being. For a long time before they ever heard of civil rights, anything else. He's always been able to outsmart white men. Lots of our people, particularly politicians, haven't seen that. Strange creature. Hey, but I'm scared of him. That's particularly true in the largest cities. You had several of them in the country. And gangland slayings and stuff like that. Days of the old speakeasies, they ran things. Lots of them did, because of it. They didn't understand. But you don't have that kind of trouble with this area. But your vote is right. Hadn't made all that much difference. And so far as electing for the office, it has made a difference in helping to build the Negro race, a sense of pride, sense of accomplishment, sense of superiority to us. All that has been boosted by the that has been the effect of it.
Has it had an effect on the style of campaigning for white politicians?
Yes, it has. It has changed the manner in which they have hunted. There hadn't been any appeal to prejudice, that sort of thing. That's the only change that I've seen.
Do you want to ask anything else, Walter?
How would you compare your administration against the two that came after you and three or four of them before you? And was there anything different, distinctive to you about your administration? You mentioned the R&D and the vocational education. Was there anything else?
Oh, there were a lot of things.
A lot of things?
The main thing is legalizing the whiskey in the state. That was a complete change in the state. Brought about a new change. A new change toward the law. Respect for it. And away with a lot of graft, corruption. Disregard for the law, things of that kind. That was a big, and this cost about $24 million into education every year. That was a big change. State unattended was a tremendous change. We had no trouble at all with that.
Did you change the trustee system?
Pardon?
What did you change in the penitentiary?
Well, we changed the amount of treatment of the prisoners. We didn't have a lot of degrading activity toward prisoners. We had a trustee system that work release programs that help them. We changed their style of dress, get away with all these old stripes and stuff like that. Gave them a little more competence in it. People that they were dealing with. Vocational technical training. We had new crops, new type of crops. We did away with all this manual labor on crops. Bought machines, picking machines, things like that, that were labor saving devices. People were happy. Their diets was changed. A lot of the starch and that sort of stuff was not given to the prisoners. They began to receive more protein like eggs, beef, milk, all that kind of diet. That had a lot to do with it. We didn't walk them to the fields. We put them on a truck and took them there. Saves about an hour. And we had about 1,500 workers, so it saved about 2,000 hours a day. They'd been walking in chains to the fields.
Anything you would have done differently?
No, not that I know of. We changed everything we could think of to change.
What was the biggest obstacle you had to overcome in legalizing liquor?
Hypocrisy of people.
How did you overcome it?
By just taking the bull by the horns, telling them about what we had been doing. came in.
That's right.
Was that, I think there was a raid at a country club when you were president? That's frequently cited as a...
But they were going to pass it. And a lot of your weeds around Jackson thought that raid in the country club was what kept causing it. Anything I've had, that wasn't a real reason.
You already had the votes in effect?
Yeah.
Was the major thing in convincing the legislature to go along, was it a revenue measure?
No, I don't think it was that. I think they were just tired of us being right and 48 other states were wrong.
Governor, you know, I'm sure you know that in a lot of the other southern states, there's always been a lot of this thank God for Mississippi syndrome. Do you think that is still true, and how do Mississippians take offense at that in the past?
No, they haven't paid attention to it.
Has there been a change in the feeling of the people about the state? Is there more pride? Is there less defensiveness?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is. More pride. And lots of defense that they were used about was really offense. Streams and the forests and the animals, and all that sort of thing. And they begin to see that some of these ecologists have got some, at least from what I hear from them, that's what I find.
Do you do quite a bit of traveling around the state?
I do, yeah. Not small.
How are you received? You see better and better the longer you're out. Yes.
At the end of the interview, Governor Johnson said he
had a gun for his governor. After he had been governor, he wondered why.
Said he ran for governor all his life, and after he finally got and now he wonders why the hell he ran so hard for it, and that his regrets, he has one regret about being governor, is he felt he lost his children, their companionship, being with them, doing things for them. Governor Johnson said that from the time he was 14, he campaigned with his father, who was governor, and made speeches all over the state. End interview with Governor Paul Johnson. No more transcription. This tape.